All right, I mentioned this caller. He calls in. He's a friend of the program. He's a friend of the show. He's a friend of me personally. His name is Steve Callis from Comcast, on the Comcast Business Hotline. From Callis Remarks, we do a podcast every week. You can find it on my Facebook page. You can also follow me on Twitter at JoeStasek975. Steve Callis, how you doing, my friend?
All good, Joe. Great to be with you.
All right, let's get this out of the way. The Kareem Hunt situation. What did you think of it? Because I thought the video, it does not look good for him. It was pretty brutal what he did, especially the kick at the end. I don't know what he's thinking or what's going through his mind at the time. But just punishment has been levied. And your thoughts on the Chiefs going forward and the situation with the NFL and how they're going to handle this?
Well, it's obviously disgusting. The NFL, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, they drop the ball after dropping the ball after dropping the ball.
They dropped the ball a lot.
It's just disgusting. Look, do I think he should never play in the NFL again? No, I don't believe that. But I think he has some serious punishment coming up. You know, Joe Mixon in college smacked that woman and on video, of course.
Yep.
For some reason, the video, I guess, makes all the difference. It certainly didn't Ray Rice. He got suspended for a year at Oklahoma. Ray Rice, you know, first that first one came out. He only got two games.
He only got two.
The first one came out, and then the second one came out, and they had no choice. And as you said, he's averaging 3 yards a carry and was getting old. So it's kind of a function on talent. This Kareem Hunt has talent off the charts. It's going to hurt Kansas City. I'm not really concerned with the football side of it
now.
But what he deserves is, you know, if they say 6 games minimum for domestic violence, and I don't know if this is technically domestic violence, but it's certainly violence against females in terms of punishment. It should be, you know, just as bad, if not worse. So I think he's looking at a very long suspension. He won't play this year. This year, you know, when they announced it on TV, I thought it was Reuben Foster video.
Right.
But it wasn't. So the NFL, once again, you know, same problem in 2 weeks. They've hired all these experts and done all this stuff. And still, you know, taking it off the football field, you're a man, you're going to hit a woman, you're going to kick a woman, you're a man. You know, you wish there was someone there to go up and cold cock him.
Yeah.
And maybe he'd learn a lesson, but that's not how reality works, I guess. But no, it's disgusting. Do I think he should play? Yeah, maybe a year from now. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a year and a half from now. Reuben Foster ain't playing this year. This guy's not playing this year. But it's an interesting angle. Did the Chiefs cut him because he got put on the exemption?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fascinating. I hope somebody can really find out the answer to that. It certainly seems like it.
It seems like it.
But I don't think the Eagles should take a chance. The problem is, if you're going to take a chance on this guy, you need to be the first one in, realistically.
Yes,
you
do.
You're going to get incredible abuse.
Abuse.
If you wait a year, if he's suspended and you wait a year, then, you know, what's going to happen? He's going to go to the highest bidder? You're not going to raise your hand to be the highest bidder either. So
right.
Do I think he should play in the NFL, and do I think he will play in the NFL again? Yes. Do I think that's going to be a long time from now? Yes.
Yeah. No, I agree, Steve. Hey, by the way, how does TMZ get the video?
I'll tell you, there's a fascinating article a few years ago in the New Yorker, specifically about Ray Rice and some stuff with Drake. But on the Ray Rice one, you know, the two videos came out. The first one, and a former employee at TMZ told the New Yorker that they paid $15,000. And the way they get it is they pay, and they're known to pay, and they have a phone number, and you can call up and say, I got video of whoever doing whatever, and I want X thousand, and apparently they'll negotiate with you. The second one, which was in the elevator, also in this New Yorker article, they said that they paid $90,000 for that
one.
Wow. And so, where there's money to be had, I don't think TMZ has incredible investigative sleuths that other newspapers and TV stations have. I think what they have is they're willing to pay cash. You know, a lot of journalists, a lot of stations, well, we refuse to pay for that. And that's how TMZ gets it. And I think that's probably true for virtually any scoops or almost all scoops that they get. But it's from the New Yorker a couple of years ago. I think if you just Google TMZ or does TMZ pay, you can find it online. But it was a fascinating article out, I think, in 2016.
Hey, money talks, my friend. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I love the info. All right, let's talk Philadelphia Eagles at Washington. Are at the Link Monday night. They're at Washington, the end of the season. And Dallas, let's touch on the Cowboys first, because I know you and I didn't see it coming. Not a lot of people saw it coming, but how much does it screw up the Eagles' chances of winning the East if Dallas beat the Saints on Thursday night?
No, I think it screws him up a lot. I haven't heard all of the show, but some people were saying, well, maybe, you know, one guy said he got 25-1 on the Eagles to win the Super Bowl now. You should get like 100-1 on the Eagles to win the Super Bowl now.
Yeah.
Maybe 25-1 to win a playoff game or something. But, no, I think, look, the way I handicapped Dallas for the last 4 or 5 years, and it's been true all the time, when Sean Lee gets hurt, and he always gets hurt, and he leaves, their defense falls apart. This year, the two linebackers you were talking about, they're off the charts. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I don't know if Sean Lee's better than those guys when he comes,
right.
when he comes back.
Incredible.
So I think defensively, it was incredible, as the Titans did with Tom Brady, and, you know, I heard Rodney Harrison talking about it after it happened. He and Vrabel in practice in the old days used to go up the middle and try and blitz Tom Brady, and you could shake him up a little in practice. That's what the Titans did when they crushed the Patriots a few weeks ago, and that's what Dallas did when they crushed Drew Brees. Now, you got to have some talent to do that. And, you know, Dallas has always had a pretty good front four. They've got a good D coordinator. You don't just snap your fingers and get pressure up the middle.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason there's two guards in the center in the middle and there's two tackles on the outside. So, and plus it is true that Drew Brees is a shorter quarterback. Brady's 6'4", and they still got to him. But as a shorter quarterback, that's even harder, because when the hands go up right in front of you, that's a problem. When you can't step up, that's a problem. So I think that was the key to victory. I totally agree with that. But, you know, if it was that simple, then every team is going to try and blitz up the middle, and then you find out what kind of success they have, or do they then counter by throwing screens to the outside where you get 40, 50 yards on a screen pass. You know, there's always adjustments and then adjustments to the adjustments. But you got to give Dallas credit. They're much better than I thought. I kind of lost it for the Eagles when they lost to Dallas at home a few weeks ago before they got killed by by New Orleans. But that loss now wasn't as bad a loss. But if you're talking about, are they going to catch Dallas? You know, we did this last year. The schedules that these teams have, all the teams in the NFC East, for example, they all have the same games except for two. And the problem for the Eagles, since they came in first place last year, is their two games this year are against the Vikings, who they've already lost to, and against the Rams. Washington's two games were the Cardinals, terrible, and the Packers, who turns out haven't won a road game this year. So that's 2 wins for Washington.
0-6.
And Dallas had Seattle, who they lost to early, and the Lions, who they beat. So Philly got the worst of the schedule. Everybody plays everybody the same except those two games. Last year, I forget Philly's games, but they were easier. This year, because they came obviously in first last year, they're much tougher. So that hurts them as well. So the schedule is not in their favor. The standings are not in their favor. I do think, like you, that they'll beat Washington. Washington doesn't really, you know, Colt McCoy. If they can't beat Washington, it doesn't matter what their schedule is, frankly. But I think they will beat Washington, but they're facing two of the best teams in football, and the Rams and the Texans. You know, I mean, that's a big problem, frankly.
Big time problem. Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Stevie, how did they get off to a better start? They've been historically bad in the first quarter. Did it again with the Giants. Luckily, they came back from a 19-3 deficit, but they were, I mean, that building was falling apart considering what they were doing or not doing, and the Giants just running right through them and all over them. How do they rebound from that and get off to a better start against the Washington Redskins?
You know, my 2 cents would be you have to try and establish a running game from the get-go that makes everybody better. They haven't really been able to do that all year. We won't go back to LeGarrette Blount, since we're the president and vice president of the LeGarrette Blount fan club, both before he was in Philly, during Philly, at the Super Bowl, after the Super Bowl. And I'm not going to say if he was here, it would be totally different, but I do think it would be better. And don't forget that Super Bowl winning experience that he has. And apparently, you know, you saw him rooting for Jay Ajayi all year. After, you know, most guys in Blount's position, if you bring Jay Ajayi in last year, they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
but he was the exact opposite. He was like a tremendous cheerleader. And if you watched him just last week, he had a great game. People who say he's washed up put in the Super Bowl tape. He had two of the biggest runs in the Super Bowl. Again, I don't know if that would have been the answer, but I do think they have to establish the run. I don't think Lane Johnson's been Lane Johnson all year. I don't think Peters has been Peters all year. Not that they're terrible. They're just not at the high level they've played at. You remember we were talking to Lane Johnson when he plays last year from the year before, how good they were, and when he didn't play, how bad they were.
Yeah.
I don't think he's quite 100% all year, and he's been up and down, as has Peters. But I think if you want to get going early, if you can run the ball early, then you go play action where they do have weapons. They got one of the best tight ends in the league, you know. And I personally thought Golden Tate would be a lot better. I understand Cooper's probably better than Golden Tate, but Golden Tate's a 90 catch a year guy. And how he walks in here and does virtually nothing is beyond me. I know you got to get the chemistry going, and it's the middle of the season, but look at Cooper. Cooper has made Dallas a different offensive team.
Yep, yes, he has.
Although they only scored 13 points the other day against New Orleans. New Orleans has a good defense, not a great defense. And I do want to say one other thing about that New Orleans game. Why doesn't Peyton take those 3 points early? You and I talk about this all the time on here and on the podcast. If you're being shut out or if it's early in the game and you have zero on the scoreboard and you can get three, fourth and goal from the two, take the three. Now, you thought it was going to be like a 48-30 game or something, but if it turns out to be a three-point game, which it did. That field goal early might have been really important. And that's not after the fact. You know, I think it was Parcells who first said that. You want to get points when you can get points early, no matter what, because then you get zero. And what happened? They got shut out in the first half for the first time in forever.
That's it. Yes, they did. Down 10-0 at the break. All right, let me ask you something, Steve. You had a great week last week picking games. What do you like this week?
Well, I just want to talk about last week just briefly.
Sure,
I was 2-1. I wouldn't call that great. I had the Chargers and the Patriots. I did pick the Bengals, and then in the first quarter, I saw that Hugh Jackson was on the Bengals sidelines as a coach. So I called you up. I wanted to either reverse my pick or eliminate it, and somehow you said too late, Nate, which, of course, it was too late, Nate. But the fact that Hugh Jackson was on the other side, I just thought it was bizarre, and I didn't hear anything about it, frankly.
I didn't either.
But I don't know if he's the kiss of death, but certainly the Browns are playing a lot better since he left. This week I got three games. I'm jumping on your Houston Texans, and I have to say early on you were on the Houston Texans, and they went 0-3. I kind of wrote them off, but now they're 5.5 over Cleveland. Cleveland's been playing well, but I think Houston is really, really good on both sides of the ball. I'll go Houston -5.5 over Cleveland. Denver, after the two wins they've had lately at Cincinnati, and Cincinnati with that horrific loss at home to the Browns, I'm going Denver -5 at Cincinnati. And I'm laying a lot of points in Seattle, but I like Seattle -10 over San Francisco. Seattle is a really one of the best-kept secrets in the NFL. Their running game is tremendous, and that's going to make Russell Wilson even better.
All right, Steve, before I let you go, I got to throw in a 1-6er question. They won last night, 25 points over the Wizards. They won by 26 over the Knicks the night before. Seemed to be really feeling themselves. 7-2 since Jimmy Butler got here. They won 7 of their last 8 games.
Yeah.
They rested their starters a lot in the second half last night because they could. No word from Markelle Fultz what's going to happen to him. He may have played his last minute for the 76ers, but how would you look at this team? How would you evaluate this team right now? They're third in the East. You know, Boston's falling and falling away. You know, they're third in the East and ensconced pretty heavily there. They look like they're a team that can make a run at this thing down the line.
I think they can certainly win the East. I don't think they can beat Golden State if Golden State is healthy, but I think they can certainly win the East. And I'll say this. I saw J.J. Redick the other day against the Knicks. He was, like, unconscious. It was like he was just, like, shooting baskets in a gym. He came off every pick every time and hit open twos and threes all night. It was unbelievable. So I would almost say that J.J. Redick could be the fourth of a big four. We were hoping it would be Fultz, and I certainly thought it could be Fultz, but now you're right. I don't know if he'll play again. If they're looking at his shoulder, I think I told you, Frazier on the Knick telecast said, when Mike Breen said to him, yeah, they're going to have they're going to send Markelle Fultz for shoulder consultation. And he goes, shoulder consultation? Is the shoulder bone connected to the head bone? And that's Walt Frazier. So I think, I still think it has to be mental. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I said last week with you, you know, you can talk about Steve Sachs in baseball. John Lester won't throw a pick off to first. Steve Blass couldn't throw a strike. But I know of nothing like this in NBA. I've never heard anything like it. So, at a minimum, you can't expect anything from him. At a maximum, he may not play. But right now, you can't think of him as a big three, a big four, or a big anything. You know, maybe he's a 8-10 minute guy off the bench at best, but you can't rely on the guy. And with the fact that Simmons still won't shoot from the outside, I don't see how those two guys can be on the court at the same time. As great as Simmons is, don't get me wrong about Simmons.
All right, Steven, great stuff as usual, man. Enjoy your games and enjoy your weekend, pal, and I will catch you on the other side, man. Have a good one.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
You too, Steve. And Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline, getting it done.